I'm in the bowels of the Roundhouse, a beautiful tunnel, and I'm stood here with Ruth Padell.
Hi. Hello, Christian.
You're talking in about 5 minutes.
Yes, with Cory.
With Cory Doctorow. What's your background, for those that don't know your name?
Okay, well, I'm a poet. I was born in London. I live not far from here. I've also just had my purse lifted in Camden Lock, getting off the bus, so I'm slightly disconcerted and discombobulated. I was born in London, in an attic in Wimpole Street. I'm a poet. My most recent book is a sort of biography in poems of my great-great-grandfather, who was Charles Darwin. So that's what I've been doing a lot of this year and thinking about him. And he's somebody that, you know, you really fall in love with when you work, and he was such a nice person. And he had this very, very open relationship with his wife. There was this sort of gulf between them about belief in God, but they negotiated it brilliantly. There is a film that's just coming out based on a book by a cousin of mine called Randall Keynes, about them, and it's a lovely film in lots of ways, but it does, I think, portray the relationship between them wrongly. Emma was a much more loving character than she's being described. She was untidy and merry, and people said above all else she comforted. So that's my background, and I used to do classics. I used to teach Greek and Latin. I've lived in Greece a long time. Okay. I have a lot of connections with Crete, where I used to teach English and modern Greek to American gap year students. And I still go back there from time to time.
What will you be talking about here today?
Well, I'm going to wait and see what Cory's talking about first. And I don't know, there are so many different things, but I'm now working on a book of poems which is about migration of animals and immigration of people, but I'm going to start with the migration of cells and the first cell and genome. So I've been looking at, you know, I've been doing a lot of research into genetics, I suppose, and the first, you know, where did the first life come from? People say it was probably an algae, little blue-green algae, and not DNA, but RNA, which is apparently also sort of part of the process of self-replication, which is really the beginning of life, is self-replication.
Have you found you've had to learn an incredible amount about all of this because of your heritage?
Yeah, it snuck up on me sort of slowly. The first book in which I really sort of took Darwin on and as a sort of grown-up and his ideas was in a book I wrote, which is a prose book. It was a travel memoir about going to find out what was happening to wild tigers in all the range countries they are, which is all over Asia, or what's left of the forests of Asia. And I met a lot of conservationists and frontline sort of field scientists. And I then had to really engaged, and I took The Origin of Species with me, and I realised, you know, when I was in Laos, in the forests of northwest Laos, and I was in a kayak at that point, which I felt very uncomfortable about. I was pretty scared about, actually, but I hadn't bargained on doing that. There I was going through this tropical, you know, on the water and so on, just like my great great grandfather 170 years before. I thought rather crossly, well, he went in much more comfort than this bloody kayak. But I also, seriously, I realised that he'd gone trying to understand how species came to be, and here I was trying to understand how species came to go extinct. And so there was a kind of horrible symmetry about that, and I felt I had to, it was, you know, I had an obligation to try and understand the science of it.
That's amazing. I can't imagine the inspiration you got from Laos. It's possibly, after 10 years of travelling, my most favourite place in the world.
Did you like Luang Prabang?
Oh, and the people.
And the people were fantastic, yes. Yeah. I went to the northwest, and then I also went to the northeast, which are wonderful forests.
And very difficult to get to.
Very.
Off the tourist track.
Oh, completely. And I went with them. We camped in the forest. You know, I was with a tiger scientist, a young guy who'd been camera trapping, you know, when you leave cameras there and then they take the photographs of any animal that goes through. And the three villagers who took us, but it was so sad because we went there because this is where the young scientist had seen Gaur, the great big wild cattle, which are the sort of tiger's best prey when he can get it.
Yes.
And but the whole hillside had been completely cleared by the village. just within a year and a half, because that's what they do. They slash and burn and they move on, and that means that all the animals in that forest, the people are so hungry there, and they're so poor that you can't blame them for eating the animals. But, you know, and they say that the amount of ordnance, you know, the mines that were left by the Vietnam War, which they call the American War, illegally in Laos, because Laos was not supposed to be part of the theatre operations at all, and they always denied it was. It would take 2,200 years to clear all that ordnance at the rate they're trying to do it. And the villagers go into, you know, the children play with these little things they call bombies and are killed all the time. It's a tragic country.
It is incredible. You see, you know, bomb cases being used to prop houses up for cattle feeders. It's incredible. I best let you go because you're talking shortly.
Yeah.
Have you been upstairs to see the...
Yes, wonderful. Oh,
isn't it amazing?
Wonderful, beautiful. Beautiful, and the noise of it.
It raises so many questions. I look forward to seeing any writing that may come from you inspired by this. If you have anything penned down today and you want to share it with us, take me aside, grab me.
I will.
Have a wonderful time.
Thank
I'm
you.
Just going to say good luck and speak
Thank
to you later.
You.
Thank
okay.
you.